Welcome to the Nikki Bostwick Unfiltered Podcast. Today's guest is Nadine Artemis. She's the founder of Living Libations. This is the second time I've had her on my podcast, and I'm so excited because I've learned so much from Nadine through the years, and I've watched her speak at different conferences. I listened to her talks on YouTube. I love all of her products, and I'm just excited to have you on the show today.
I'm so happy to be here with you today.
And today we're going to talk about peptides, which I have zero knowledge on. And I'm excited because you know so much about peptides and you're starting to incorporate them in your products too. So that's it. I don't know anything. Like, where do they come from? What's the deal? How can they help us? So will you give us the rundown on peptides and tell me how you use them and why you love them?
Yes, for sure. And just to clarify too, like I feel like I'm a peptide like sort of hobbyist, but I'm not like a total expert or a doctor in the subject. Yeah. But I have studied quite a few hours with doctors and some functional medicine doctors and gone to it deep. And then I think always the best thing is like, you know, experimenting, so to speak, with yourself, your family, and getting to know the parameters and the medicine. So they're really cool substances. They're all peptides are basically short chain amino acids. So it's a sequence of amino acids that I believe is under 50. I think more than three, but under 50 qualifies it to be a peptide. And why they're so cool is they're like cell signaling. So they go in, they do the work. I mean, they signal the cells so that the body does the work, and then they, you know, kind of leave the body. So they really are able to like pinpoint and target what you need. And of course, you know, there's a general safety, but of course there's some that, you know, are different to work with, and there are parameters, but there's a few that I really like to work with. And
what are they derived from, or are there synthetic and not synthetic? Or
it's basically like you know how you make like amino acids and as a supplement, so that kind of like synthetic amino acid, but not like synthetic like a synthetic in a product. So, you know, still made in a lab, but not like
derived from a
things
fruit,
that are bioavailable and assimilate into our body safely. And so there's like, I mean, there's about a common sort of 70 right now, but really the possibilities are endless. And apparently, you know, there could be like 7,000. And there's a few that I really like. And one is the thymosin alpha. There's also a thymosin beta, but I do tend to use the alpha more. And there's one called BPC-157, which stands for Body Protective Compound 157. That's derived from what would be like part of a gastrointestinal, like intestinal lining.
Okay.
And for example, in a petri dish, if they, I wish I had the study to exactly quote, but I'll summarize it. So basically sort of like taking part of an intestine, putting in a petri dish, and then if they put like with water or something, obviously it's not growing, but they put it part of that intestine in the petri dish with the BPC-157, then growth started to happen within 10 days. So it's like,
whoa,
it's a real healer and sealer, you know, of tissue. And I have an article that I wrote on our website. And also I do talk about it in an interview I did with Ben Greenfield. It was very dental focus. And where you can even use, you know, you'd probably want to work with your dentist, but you could even work with like helping the gum lines with the BPC-157.
Injecting it or topically?
Yeah, injecting it. Now, also topical. So most of the peptides are injectable. However, there are some that can come in a powdered form. So it's probably still going to take a year or so, but we are hoping to make some dental products with the BPC-157. It's like toothpaste.
Gosh.
And then we have this new dental light. So you can kind of just sort of make, I mean, you could really even open a capsule of BPC-157, mix it a little bit with one of our toothpastes. I like the new triple mint one we have, which has the nano hydroxyacetate.
Yes,
which is very repairing for the teeth. And then you could just sort of make a little mix and then just put that into the BioLite and then just hang out with that in your mouth and help heal your gums and stuff.
Oh my gosh, I need that. And so, how long would you use that for? Like 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes, like...
In the morning and in the evening?
Well, or? I like to do, there's a red light and a blue light. So like maybe do the blue light in the morning and then the red light at night. Of course, we don't, you know, want to do any blue light at night.
Yeah.
So the BPC 157 is just amazing. And then also, I mean, for injuries, people have injected it sort of near the site, like for a knee or whatever. But really, you can inject it. Like you're just, it's just an injectable. It's like from the fleshy. It's not like in the veins or anything. So it's very safe to do at home once you get the hang of it. So even if it's for your knee, I mean, you could just literally, you know, put it in your hip, or the kind of places that people do it are the stomach. You know, you just grab a little, that little 1 inch area, or like the hip or the arm or the thigh. Those are some areas. I usually just do the hip. It's so fleshy, you know, it's always safe. And then thymus and alpha to me is just like gold. It's so, I mean, it just makes your immune system so strong, and it really takes away, you know, any kind of inflammation in the body. So it is good for injuries. It's good for your immune system. It's good preventatively. It's good like post or like during, if you're experiencing any kind of viral load or anything like that. We're always doing like a little injection before we go to the city or before we get on a plane or do travel.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. So to protect yourself.
Yeah. And really, I feel like even with something like thymus and alpha, like just that one peptide, like you could get to know that for a few years before you're even moving on to others. Like you could just be exploring that one. And we do some biological testing through True Diagnostics. So I've been able to see
True
Diagnostic. Okay. It's sort of one word, a TRU and then diagnostic together. My friend Ryan over there is really awesome. And he's neat. I knew him from the peptide world. And then he started this company, I think with some other folks. So they're really like... And it's cool because they know like what people, it's not what just helps. Some random thing. And they know like the peptide people, and they're seeing, you know,
the changes,
like what's working and what isn't. So I like doing that because you're kind of getting, you can go into detail that's pretty
I need
crazy.
To do this for my, I mean, my kids.
Yeah. It's because, just a drop of blood.
Yeah. So you do the test at home. You can with True Diagnostic, and then they can kind of give you a rundown of, maybe even recommend what sort of peptides could be good, or
yeah, maybe I don't think
they
do that.
With a doctor,
like you could,
but
and again, they'll do a general overview, and then but you could, if you really wanted to go into that data, like you could see, like, you know, if you smoked when you were a teen and now you're 40, is that still in your body?
Whoa.
Or like if you had some kind of formaldehyde exposure,
they know
it would it reads 900,000 DNA methylation sites, and it's nothing like that sort of a 23andMe thing. It's not even like not even the same situation. And there are others out there, but I really like them. And I feel like the earlier you can do it, and then you can kind of just see the general signposts, like are things moving in the right direction with your immune system? And we've been seeing like our cellular age is getting lower and lower.
Whoa.
So as I've done 3 years of testing now, and every test, the numbers are getting better.
And what about oxalates? Can it measure that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Like, again, I haven't picked apart the data big time because you have to do that with somebody that knew. But for oxalate tests, like the OATS test, which is, it stands for organic acids test.
Okay.
That'll even tell you about heavy metal situation, oxalates,
and
everything.
That's more like, it'll tell you, it's... Over time, it's not just like that day that you took it. You know how some tests, it's kind of like
I'm not totally sure on the OATS test, but that is the one. I actually haven't had that specific test yet.
Okay, but that's what to do for an oxalate test.
Yes,
for my kids who have a mitochondrial situation, then
I would definitely
feel like
do True Diagnostic. Because then you also have that early roadmap for their whole lives. And then you can see, oh my God, did 20, did something go great or like whatever, you know? So I've got my son doing it now. So he's 2 years in and, you know, everything's looking good. And he's doing really well, which is awesome.
Oh my gosh.
His cellular age was showing as like first time we did it as like a 5-year-old.
That's so good.
His immune system
was
really
good. Of course,
your son
would. So, but with peptides, you would, if someone wants to start getting into peptides, who would they?
they reach out to, just because every functional medicine doctor knows about this. They don't.
And then, you know, I mean, obviously you do want to work with your doctor, but then sometimes too, it can be a bit prohibitive because then there's their whole markup and their system and then where they're getting it from. But really, you can really educate yourself. I have a friend, Natalie Nidham, and she has a podcast, which I can't remember the name right now, but something like biohacking something. And she goes deep into the peptides. So she'll have like probably a whole episode just even on thymus and alpha.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, you can do a lot of like deep education by like, you know, find like five podcasts on thymus and alpha. Or she also really goes into the bioregulators, which I was going to talk about next. Those are the injectable ones. And I also like one called Apidolon, which is the pineal gland one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because so much is going on there. And what I found by taking that and also combining it with one of the bioregulators for the pineal gland, and the bioregulators are capsules. And if you want to learn more about the bioregulators, again, Natalie Nidham, but she interviews, or you can look for his interviews, but his name is Bill Lawrence, and he's a really awesome guy, and he's in his 70s now, and he's got his age down to in his 30s.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
His wife,
so
too.
It's obviously anti-aging.
And so the Apidolon and the other pineal gland bioregulator, I know these are a lot of weird words because it's called endolutin. I didn't name them.
Endolutin?
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the pineal gland ones. And what I found, I think the main secret has what that's made my telomeres stable.
Yes, I was going to ask about telomeres.
Yeah, yeah. Is those two.
Okay.
Because it's really connected to the pineal gland.
And so would you say, because, you know, so many people in Orange County and beyond, because of social media, I don't know what the deal, everyone loves Botox. And obviously, I'm not a big fan. I don't like to judge people, but I think, why would you ever do that? So do you think that this is something that you would recommend someone who wants to not use Botox?
Well, yes. I totally get why we're in a Botox state of mind right now, because it's like there's so much pressure.
And filler.
And fillers.
People don't want to age. And,
yeah.
Which I think there's so much beauty when it comes with aging gracefully.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we can pull that off, but for sure. So it's like so understandable, and it can be quite, you know, strange when you sort of wake up at 50 or whatever, or oh gosh, I think people are doing Botox in their teens now.
They are.
But anyway, and you're just like, oh, you know, sort of things are changing. But to me, I always want to get into the root and get underneath it all. And of course, a lot of things go back to the mitochondria. So Botox or fillers literally do not get to the root of anything, and there are side effects, and we don't even know all of them yet. And even it was just last month that a paper came out that fillers are affecting the lymphatic system, and therefore, you know, I think it was cancer. Like there's some diseases associated with it, right?
That.
And it literally isn't so solving sad. Anything. And it may not even be a good job.
Exactly.
You know, and the substances are so vast and varied and mixed. And even the regulations around Botox are bizarre. And again, I mean, there's kind of some neat things, like if apparently, you know, with TMJ, it can relax the jaw. But again,
there's other ways to.
Well, most TMJ bruxism, the root cause of that, again, what's the root cause? Like, you know, we want to get to that. You don't want to be grinding your teeth. It's very much connected to a vitamin D deficiency.
Really?
Yes.
And you were talking about, what was emu oil K2, or was it?
It's got
a combo.
It's just got like the omegas and different oils in it that are like, because traditionally the deep dental people, like cod liver is so good because we need the D3 and K2 combined. Because the K2 ushers the D3 into the bones. And so what we just found out was the emu oil is like, I think 40 times like more potent than the cod liver oil.
Wow.
So that could be an interesting thing. I haven't done a deep dive yet, and I got to start like trying it and taking it myself.
but maybe even more cleaner source.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Again, look for that clean source. Yeah. Because there's a lot of issues with aquatic stuff, and a lot of cod liver is cut with seed oils, and fish oil is just,
yeah,
no. Because again, it's a good concept perhaps, but no, it's just so
oxidizing.
Yeah, oxidized, yeah. And cut with things, and no, you know, not a pure form. Plus, I've always been a bit like, the ratio seems weird. Like how many fish oil cups you have to take? We would never be eating that much fish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that doesn't totally make sense to me. But we really do have major vitamin D deficiency, because we're also not engaging with the sun. So it's good that we have vitamin D supplements to take. And I've definitely seen it turn around and reverse cavities, because again, a cavity is a major sign of a lack of a nutrient or vitamin D. Yeah. So we've got to get our bodies in the sun when possible, and also supplement with a vitamin D3, but it must be combined with a K2.
That's and come key. From the most natural source instead of made in... I mean, like right now, my kids take one that's from Symbiotica, that's D3, yeah. K2. But ideally, instead of giving them one that's made in a lab like that, I would be getting it from a source that's just naturally occurring.
Like that cod, yeah. Or the emu. So that's, it could be a really exciting, yeah, source of a nutrient. And it does help, yeah, deliver the nutrients to the bones. So that's really key, keeping that bone, okay, health. And most people really have a D deficiency. And it's not like you can just pop a few pills and then you're done. It's like a living barometer in your body. So I actually use an app called D-Minder. Ooh. And then you can put in your supplements, but also will track any sunbathing that I'm doing.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll track all my sun sessions to know my levels. And then I can see, oh, do I need to, like in the middle of winter, like have some actual vitamin D?
Do you know if there are different parts of our body that absorb more?
That's a good question. Not that, no, I think it's pretty, it's equal. Like, I mean, there's vitamin D receptors everywhere. And ideally, you want to bring as much of your body into the sun, yeah, obviously without scaring the neighbors or anything. Yeah. But to me, yeah, it's so important to have that like private sun tanning moment so that I can just like, I don't want tan lines, you know?
Even especially with them blocking the sun.
Yeah.
So much sun blocking happening.
Oh my God. Yes. It's like, oh.
But, and I know we kind of talked about this in our last episode. I'm sure I don't like fully remember. But, you know, I never really used sunblock just because I was like, I don't want to. But then listening to your talk, you know, over a decade ago, I was so impressed. You were talking about how bad sunblock is before anyone knew about it. And I love, you know, you're the reason why I try not to go in the sun peak hours and only go outside of like a 10 to 3.
Well, you can do, no, you can do the peak hours.
You can.
So like, I mean, on an ideal day, let's say it's an ideal sunny day. So I would be watching the sunrise and getting that time in. And then, you know, if it's summer, like then I'll even stay out for a bit because you're getting the near infrared and you're getting all the red light. So the UV ultraviolet, that's the violet. So if we think of a rainbow, you know, you've got red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. So the violet ray is like the last one to come out in the day. And that's why in Canada in the winters, we have 3 months without it. Ooh. Because it's that top ray. And that's the one that's going to get you the tan. And that's all the, you, yes, know, controversies, yes, about the violet ray. Okay. So the near infrared also, so the red light spectrum prepares you for the violet rays as well.
Oh my gosh.
And then also, if you know this, I think it helps make red light therapy make more sense. And red light therapy is a great thing because we are literally supposed to be out in the mornings getting that red light. And I found this so fascinating because we generally know about melatonin and we generally know it's secreted from the pineal gland at night and it helps us sleep. That's kind of like what we all know. But that's only about 5% of the story. So what's supposed to happen is that we have exposure to red light in the morning and that generates an intercellular melatonin in the mitochondria.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's like a daytime thing. And it's this mitochondrial medicine. And I really feel like melatonin and the mitochondria are like ancient dance partners.
Wow.
So what happens is the ATP, which is the conversion of food into energy. And no matter how healthy you are, there's like a, a byproduct of that, which is the free radicals. So there's like a heat that's kind of made from that activity, which is happening all the time. And so melatonin, because we went out in the morning and got it with the red light, acts as a coolant fluid for that heat from the ATP conversion.
Oh my gosh.
So it's actually a mighty antioxidant, and melatonin generated in that way in our intracellular is more potent than glutathione, more potent than vitamin E or vitamin C. It is like the mother of all antioxidants.
And so do you recommend supplementing with it ever, or?
I do, in the sense of like, so I did try it a couple times, like, you know, years ago, and I just like that thing at night, like the tablet, and I just didn't do well on it. Like I was like, I felt like I didn't sleep. I mean, it definitely knocked me out. And then I just felt like I kind of skimmed over my sleep and I felt hungover.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't bother with it again. And then apparently that's about 30, 40% of the population. They don't totally vibe with it. But then I went into the work of Dr. Russell Ryder, who's like 80s, and he's been taking melatonin since he was in his 20s. And he's like, you can go and find like his 2-hour lectures on YouTube. And it's like really exciting if you're into that. And then Dr. John Lawrence, he's a fun doctor out of Florida, and he does like endonasal cranial. And he wrote a book on melatonin as well. And he also talks about like high dosing the melatonin and using it in the day.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And if you have like what I had, whatever that is, you could have it like really anytime up until about sunset. And then I don't get that thing of like not sleeping very well.
So you use it during the day.
Yeah.
And then when you go to sleep.
Well, maybe just do it in the day.
Yeah. But I mean, when you're sleeping, is it?
Then it just works. It's just there. It's just been a part of like
your day.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like this weird extra thing. And I don't take those tablets, but he makes like some wonderful products. And sometimes we even make our own. So you can just make your own like melatonin suppositories. And he also sells the Mitozen. And then you can have this like time release.
As a suppository.
Yes.
I love a suppository. I don't know what it is, but I just like.
It really makes sense.
It does.
And he does super high doses. So I have done months of taking 400 micrograms, not the 1 or 2 like that you normally take, right?
400 in a suppository?
Yes.
And then you don't get hungover?
No, I don't get. No. So I found like it was really quite life changing on so many levels, because it's so good for your hormones. There's no negative feedback loop. So you can take it and it doesn't dampen your own production.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So for example, like taking something like a bioidentical testosterone or something, that will dull your own production. But melatonin doesn't. It's so antiviral. So if I have felt things coming on, I call it the melatonin cocoon. So I might take it in the morning and then also at sunset to just sort of cocoon the body. And it's very, like you can just feel it just puts up like a defense system. And then also when you get like 40s, 50s, 60s, these other hormones start to go into high gear, and they're the ones that kind of set off like going into puberty. And I mean, it's not my theory per se, but there's sort of a theory too that like light exposure is what sort of signals puberty.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, now we're exposed to so much light, but generally it's to old times where we didn't have artificial light. You know, you might get so many days in your body clock. It would be like, now it's puberty.
Whoa.
So that same clock might be signaling your death in a way, right? So, so much certain amount of light. And so what the melatonin does is it dampens those hormones that can kick up to like even 500% up in like the 50s, 60s. And so it just like dampens all that activity. So it's very anti-aging.
Wow.
It's really good for the pineal gland. And it's so amazing for your skin when it's in the sun.
It protects your skin.
It protects your skin.
It's a natural like sun block, but not block.
And it works like there is a whole connection with melanocytes, melatonin.
Oh my gosh.
And actually there's even a peptide called melanotan, which is really good for mold and fungus, but it's also called the Barbie peptide because it literally gives you a tan.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I was actually wondering if Bobby knew about it.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Because
you get up. I don't do it too much, but I'll do it like if we're, you know, if it's been winter and then we're about to go tropical. And I actually make that into a nasal spray. And then I'll just do a few snorts or like, you know, that's sending so Leaf smart. Off. It literally gives him sun protection. And then I don't have to like chase him.
Wait, yeah. Hold on. Nasal yeah. spray. You make your own nasal spray with it?
Yeah.
Can you, so with these peptides that you brought, you can, so you could use these topically as well. Or not topically, but transdermal.
Yeah. Transdermal is a bit different. But yeah, the nose somehow like brings it all in. And then what I found is because the one reason, well, I think, yeah, with the melanotan, I might even do, I would maybe do it more. But what it does is if you do have any freckles or anything, it makes them a bit darker. So it's kind of a bit of a, like, you know, depends
on you and your skin. Yeah.
And I found, so I found the nasal spray was like lighter on that and not as, and again, like it's such a micro dose in the needle. Like, you know, it, like I would really go slow. But I found the nasal spray really helps. It's the same way you reconstitute it. And then you just get a little nasal bottle, which are so easy to find. Like you can get empty bottles on like eBay or Amazon.
Okay, so that one's good. The Barbie one. And then what about ones that you recommend for the mitochondria?
Yeah, well, I think on one level, so many of them are helpful for the mitochondria, but I really feel that like the thymosin alpha, thymosin beta, which is, and the thymosin, it's literally from like, it's a thymus gland peptide and our whole, not our whole immune system, but a huge part of our immune system is really connected to the thymus gland. And that gland, by the time we're 16, starts to involute, which is, so it starts to shrink.
Okay.
So really aging is... you're immune, like you just, it's like, you know, aging is actually, again, I'm not like against it. I'm happy to grow old and so thankful, but there's an age aspect to aging that's literally things are shrinking and like, you know, sort of, we got to keep that mitochondrial health up. And I think, yeah, even thymosin helps with the, what we call the zombie cells. So there's cells in our body that aren't dying and they're not living, senescent cells, and that can, you can get quite a buildup of that. So you want to keep clearing that out so your body isn't sort of cluttered with these not like not very useful kind of debris. And the mitochondria also, so you have that with cellularly and then within the cell, within the mitochondria, what's it called again? Oh, mitophagy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So there's autophagy and there's mitophagy, which is that cellular cleanup. Which also, spermidine is really good for that as well, which is this polyamine that was so hard to get before. It's so great for skin and beauty that I actually did an interview with my friend, even though I don't normally like to interview people, but I was like, people have got to know about this because it puts your hair in the growth stage.
Oh, cool.
And it's really good also for melasma, like skin tone and you know, nail strength, people's lashes grow on it.
How do you use it?
You just take the capsules. So there's two kinds now, and they have a gluten-free one made from chlorella, but it like it used to take like you'd have to have 40 capsules to get a little bit of the spermidine, and then they finally kind of cracked the code.
Whoa.
And it's like one of the most anti-aging, like I feel like
I love chlorella, so you tell me which one.
Yeah you'll love it.
What's the brand that
Primadine.
Okay.
Oxford HealthSpan is my friend's company. It's totally clean and pure. And it, I just had to share it with people because it's so anti-aging and so beautifying. Like it's really like, you know, because I'm in the realm of skincare and beauty. Yeah. So I was like, people got to know about this. Because I also felt like for the past 30 years, I feel like I've tried every herb and substance that's supposed to be good for hair and whatever. But this was just like, I've never, and so fast, like 6 days. If you have hair shedding that's or hair wild. Loss, like it starts to turn that around. So many old people are like emailing like, you know, 90-year-olds and they're like, oh, look at the, got the growth back. And some people are even getting like more brown hair.
Oh my gosh.
Where it was gray.
Well, do you put it in any of your products?
We are working on a cream, but it is hard to work with. But you can open up the capsules and sort of brush your teeth with it or make a mask, mix
brush
it with
your
honey.
Teeth with it?
You can brush your teeth with that and the BPC 157.
I need to do that with the pearl, with the
peptides.
Oh my gosh.
And our mascara that we made recently,
such a good mascara,
has peptides in it, and that is for lash growth.
Which one do you use in that?
It's just like one that's derived from a pea. It's not one of the ones that you're injecting or whatever, but it's like good for growth. And yeah, it's so fun because people are like, oh my God, my lashes are growing, you know, because it really does work. And because again, the peptides are so responsive.
I mean, I've been using your mascara, so that makes sense because I feel like my lashes are longer, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I just like didn't think about it until you said that, you know?
Because when are your lashes getting longer, right? Yeah. Like that doesn't, you kind of feel like you're done. I mean, they
grow and then,
yeah. Or you
just don't pay attention like when you have a million things. But then when I went to go put it on, I was like, it does look and feel longer. But I just love, I was like, maybe it's the mascara, you know, because that's also just such a good mascara.
Yeah, it literally
and so is clean. Can you talk a little bit about why it's, you know, why you formulated it?
Yeah, well, I feel like it was kind of the one thing. I don't really use much makeup except like eyeliner and mascara. So I was like, I want to get that going. Because I also was like, you know, even within the clean beauty realm, it's like, I always felt like, oh, it's like 80% good. I mean, it's good enough. It is a lash. It's not like I have to like eat it or anything. And and like smudging and stuff, you know, like I always felt like it would kind of wear away, or anyway, I just felt like it needed to be improved. It did take a few years to really like nail it and work with, you know, things, because it is the eye area, which is obviously very special. And then really wanting to make it juicy, you know, with like jojoba and nourishing things. And the peptides to me was just like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And then we put in a beautiful glass bottle. I think it's one of the only mascaras in glass.
So special.
So that was fun just to get that done. We do actually have eyeliner coming out.
I was just going to ask, like, what else are you going to come out with?
Just
on the
like keeping
side.
It pretty basic.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll just have like a cacao and onyx eyeliner. Again, I don't think it's like revolutionary. There's no peptides in it, but it's clean.
Yes.
It's super clean. And to me, it's got that like perfect amount of like it can smudge, but not smudge, you know, like, but be soft or sharp, however you want it. And then we have our, we have like the shimmers, and then
I love the shimmers.
So those are
and
good.
They smell so good.
They
too.
Smell so,
so
good.
You just feel
and
like
it is an eyeshadow or cheek highlighter.
Yes.
And then we have our blushing balms.
I love those too.
I love
my
the
daughter
chocolate
uses
rubbery.
It.
Oh, that's
like
fun.
She puts on makeup every day, and I'm like, I think, I mean, because I'm like, oh, whatever, it's Nadine's stuff. It's the cleanest. You could literally eat it.
She could eat it.
But then I'm like, oh, well, I need to make sure she understands. She can't use other people's.
Yeah.
Like, it's only mommy's because it's your stuff. But I know, I'm so appreciative of having clean products. Are you ever going to do, like, do you feel like you'll ever be able to crack a code on a tinted moisturizer?
I just feel with that too, it's like we're really into like bringing the skin out and letting it breathe. So probably not. And it's not something I ever use. So that kind of, you know.
I know that dictates.
Yeah. And the thing that I love, though, was like every day we're getting emails from people who are like, oh my God, like my skin is so clear now.
I
can
know.
Go outside without makeup. Again, so fine to wear makeup. But how fun when you don't feel like
you have to
like leave the house, you know.
But I almost feel like the Everybody Loves Sunshine zinc one is like a tinted.
Many people do that.
I know, because I used it like that, and I feel like it kind of gives that little bit without feeling
doing too much.
And I love that formulation.
Oh yay,
it's so
Thank
good
you.
How do you make it so it's not so white?
Well, that was a huge challenge, right? Well, it's like our Everybody Loves Sunshine oil, which is probably over there. But anyway, so we've got this beautiful, like, so we have the oil, which is like harmonizing your skin to be in the sun. So it's not a block. It's not a sunscreen.
It's supportive.
It's supportive and it's nourishing, or like after the sun. I mean, and you can use it. I mean, as you would use a Beskin ever or whatever.
Yeah.
So then we want to make the zinc version. So it's literally like the same, but now with zinc. And then we have like natural occurring like pigments in Everybody Loves the Sunshine, because they're also really good for skin repair. And do we just up them? So like the calendula, the sea buckthorn, the red raspberry all have like natural pigments. And so we just like up that to help as much as we could with the white part, which is amazing, because like there's every skin tone loves it. And it's funny because you'll get some people, even, you know, even with a white skin tone, it's too white.
Yeah.
But then other people are like, it's amazing. So it really is
darker and it works.
Yeah. So it's like just different for everybody. And I would say if you're feeling it's a bit white, you can always just add a bit of oil or something to that to kind of like blend it in more.
Tone it down and blend it. Okay. Talking about sea buckthorn, because you sent me that little pack with like different oils that I just love them all. And I don't know, maybe it was sea buckthorn that I just had on hand or it was in the pack.
Yeah.
But I started to, because I use your ozonated doodab like religiously, and I had run out and I was like, I need something. Like, I just need something of hers. So I started putting just sea buckthorn essential oil on my face.
Oh, nice.
And like, I mean, I just like go all out when I do it. But I was like, this is life changing. It was so good for my skin and preventing breakouts. Like, is that a thing, or was it just happened to like just work for me?
No, it does. It works for people. We at one point, somebody's son was in the Pacific Palisades football team and it totally cleared up his acne using it. And then also taking a drop internally. And then the whole football team started using it. I just love that all these guys were doing it. These team guys.
Wow. So even taking it internally, I haven't tried that. I need to.
The extract you're taking. Yes. It's potent.
Yeah, the essential oil.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I love all of your formulations. Like, digest the best in sparkling water.
Yeah.
It's so good. And
have you tried the love wine?
I love wine. Yeah. I'm wearing it right now. Yeah, I put it on just on my wrist. I need to try it in a drink.
Yeah, or like on a piece of chocolate, or like, it's so good. You know, if you ever sort of juice up, well, like a watermelon, you don't have to juice it, but just throw it in the blender.
Yes.
And with then watermelon. You add the lime to that.
So good.
That's a good one.
I love that one so much. So what was the inspiration with the ozonated doodabs? When did you launch those?
Oh, it was a while ago. I think first we launched the ozonated gum gel.
Yes, which I love.
Yeah, and that was, well, I love ozonated. We do that at home. And just Tesla, as you know, I maybe don't like, so the scientist Tesla, he was the first and he had a patent. I believe this is like late 1800s, maybe early 1900s. Anyway, so he, whatever, through his brilliant mind, decided that if you put the ozone through oil, so olive oil, it holds it. And he started making all this ozonated olive oil, and then a lot of doctors were using it that at the time. So I was like, let's bring that back. And so we just started taking our happy gum drops formula and then ozonating that and then creating a gum gel. And then
is that what that is?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then I was like, oh, it's such a beautiful, thick consistency, which is like, you know, you don't always have that naturally in nature without sort of, you know, I mean, aloe vera has that, but it doesn't like hold. Anyway, I was like, hey, this makes a great lip gloss. Such so we made like gloss. The world's first like ozonated lip gloss, and it literally gets its thickness from being ozonated. So it's so pure. And then the doodabs, which we've had for a long time, the little family of sort of spot on serums that you can use for bumps, blemishes, melasma, scars, is really good for that first stage.
Yeah.
Whether it's even an older scar or like a new scar, a new surgery, where you're using a doodab in the first phase, because you can they're really all antiseptic, antifungal, antibacterial. So it helps to really clean and seal and heal. And then you can start, once the skin's closed, work with like an oil.
Yeah.
Like that then starts to nourish and prevent a keloid. So we love that. And then, so the doodabs are
on my son. Oh. I don't know if you remember, I asked you, or had David ask you, when he was born, he had, what's it called when they have the little like,
Like let's just little cradle cap.
Yes, cradle cap. And I was so devastated about his cradle cap. And I was like, cradle cap is because of my gut. No. Like, you know, just like
blaming yourself.
Think it is. And but then I was like putting doodab on it.
Yeah,
and
it was like so massage healing. It and it clears up really fast.
But then so then ozonated.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, we need to ozonate these because it's just so concentrated. And then with the ozone, you can use it as lip gloss, or again under the eyes as a balm on that scar or, you know, that thing that you need to heal. They're so healing for that. And we're actually going to come out with, there's two new ones because there was two of our Do Deb family. I'm just sorry, looking at them over there.
Yeah.
That weren't ozonated yet. So our Do Queen.
Which ones? Ooh.
And
I do love Do Queen.
Isn't it that? That's my favorite. That's like my desert island oils. Like
so good.
Top five or four. I forget how many are in there. It's frankincense, immortelle, peppermint, and rose auto. And the combo of the rose auto peppermint is like analgesic. So it's like, or like when, because peppermint's so handy, but sometimes you just don't want the full like yes. zing of it. So the Do Queen is where that's at. And I'll anoint my skin before I do a peptide injection with the Do Queen.
Ooh, that's so smart.
Yeah. And so that's getting
IV before
anything like that for sure. And then the Morning Dew, which is a newer Dew Dab as well, which is such a gorgeous aroma.
Yeah, so good. So you could do that in the morning.
Yeah,
I love it. Because there's also the Jewel. A doodab?
That's a doodab too. That's also like for hyperpigmentation, melasma, sometimes you want to like switch it up a bit. So like you'll get so far with like one combo and then you kind of need to get to a second one. So that's really good for like, you know, older skin, scars, melasma patches. And the thing is just being consistent with it. We've had like, you know, from really a reduction in melasma to like 100% gone with people where the doctors were like, or, you know, the pregnancy mask and stuff. And doctors are like, sorry, there's nothing we can do. And like, it goes again. It's not maybe 100% with everybody, but I'd say like 80% of the people get a full reduction in the melasma.
Well, I was going to ask you because I'm so addicted to it.
Yeah.
I was like, is it okay for me to be using it every day?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. It's like potent, but it's gentle.
Exactly.
But it's like, I feel like it's so anti-aging. I mean, it really helps with me with preventing acne.
Oh, that's good.
But then I was nursing and my hormones, like not nursing anymore. And I just felt like it just made everything even and feel so good. But I use a lot of it. I'm like, I need to buy it in bulk, huge tubs. Yeah. You need to make huge tubs of it. And it's so moisturizing. I just love it.
Hey.
And I was like, is this like my skin's, but it's not addicting. You know how people are like addicted to putting steroids on their skin?
No, I didn't know
people
that.
Or like, yeah.
Or the cortisone.
Cortisone. Well,
it can get you in a bit of a cycle.
Yes,
like where you can't.
Obsessed with it.
You can't stop because then it, but it really.
For the rosacea, for anything. Yeah. I'm like, no.
And it doesn't solve it. I mean, really, anything that's going to solve anything in the skin, you have to work with a microbiome.
Yeah.
So modern dermatology is basically like antimicrobiome
because
they didn't know about the microbiome. But like you can't. So rosacea is a Dermadex mite. It's a mite in the skin. So the microbiome's off.
Whoa.
And it's sweet. It clears up so easy. People use the rose best skin ever, one of the Dew Dabs, and like
it's gone.
It's gone.
Wow.
So we have to really care for our microbiome because we can throw it off balance. And basically, like most modern skincare is literally mutating the microbiome or diminishing the variety of species on our skin. And as gross as it sounds, like we kind of gotta let the bacteria be the beautician.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have that be like a good environment for the bacteria, the good bacteria to thrive. So you actually, you know, you don't want to over exfoliate and because you got to leave a little food for the bacteria, which is gross as it sounds, but like let the skin balance itself rather than we're like scrubbing away, over exfoliating, and then
bleaching,
anything that's like going to put you in the, where they're like, you can't go in the sun, like, for a few days, that's a bit of a red flag. If it's like never again, that is a major red flag. Because when we're even over exfoliating or doing chemical peels, then we're like, the skin that gets exposed is too vulnerable. It's too young to have that like main job. And because there's like in that top layer of skin, which is super thin, like it's like as thin as like the side of a credit card. There's like five layers in that one tiny layer. And the stratum corneum is the layer that's first or top. And we do so much to F that up.
I know.
And then that, you know, even, and then the lipid barrier gets like just with all the surfactants. And then the basal layer is the bottom layer, and the new cells come up from that and make their journey up. So they have to like complete that journey before they're on the main stage, so to speak, of the stratum corneum. And so when we're scrubbing away and chemical peeling, it's like we're leaving the immune system of our skin way too vulnerable.
Wow, yeah.
And the skin is a huge part of the innate immune system. Mm-hmm. And whatever we're putting on it is like totally absorbed transdermally and without the benefit of a whole digestive process. So it's actually like sometimes more dangerous to put things on the skin than even to ingest it.
It's like an open wound.
Yeah,
almost.
Because you've got, you know, saliva and then the like whole digestive tract, the liver to help break things down. But when it's right in the skin, it's just going right in.
What do you think about, and I'm like blanking on the name, but I feel like you'll know this because it's in like every beauty product right now.
Yeah.
Is it, it's like
hyaluronic acid.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you know? What's the deal?
Well, I think in theory it's good because it is like in our body and it's sort of like this natural lubricant, but... And I'm still, because I've really gone into the sourcing of it.
Is it cancer causing or
well,
like?
Well, I don't know about that part, but it's made from like, it has been made from muscle wastewater, which is just gross. And now there's a vegan one, but it's made from like grown on like E. coli, like a weird bacteria, like I think E. coli. So it's not like, no, you know. And then I'm not sure, like you could supplement with it. Maybe, but I'm not sure how those are made either.
But
I feel like, and usually it's molecularly a bit too large to actually even, let's say it was clean, it might be too molecularly large to do something. But you'll see like, you know, the trends and the hot things. And often it's just like a hot buzzword that doesn't have a lot of oomph behind it. You know, again, I love working with things that we've known about for thousands of years, like frankincense and rose. I mean, they're such skin champions.
And obviously, you know, you're talking about nanohydroxyapatite, right? Mm-hmm. And peptides and all these things because you've seen the research behind it.
Yes.
You've really... You've worked with doctors that use it. I mean, you know, you've been trained in it, but yeah, I feel like that one, I was kind of like,
yeah. So I don't think like topically it's going to, let's just say again, it was clean right now. I'm not seeing topically that it's really making that big of a difference. So, but sometimes we get caught up in the thing. And so we think it's making a difference or something because it must, because the marketing said so or whatever. And there's so many ingredients like that, that come and go.
What about collagen?
Collagen's interesting.
Yeah, because is collagen one of those things that if you supplement with it, your body stops producing as much? Do you know if that's
true
or no?
I don't know about that part, but what's happening is it's not fully being absorbed. And the main thing with the, I think we want to eat it naturally in our meals and, you know, it'll be naturally in bone broth or eating off the bone and all that stuff. But what's super interesting is that collagen becomes oxalates in the body.
Really?
Yeah, it's an oxalate. So if we're just supplementing and going hard, we're literally creating such a toll on our body from getting all those extra oxalates.
And I wonder if it has high heavy metals.
It might, depending on the purity. But so oxalates are in foods. And now I think we're coming to understand, especially these past 30 years of eating healthy. So eating our almonds and spinach and things, but to a capacity that we've never eaten that many sort of vegetables and nuts before. And
so we're seeing the issue with overdoing it in that sense.
And so it's actually an anti-nutrient, kind of like, and that's what I was researching with my dental book, like these things that are affecting our teeth, like phytic acid, oxalates, and but I just didn't realize that oxalates in so many things. And again, you're going to eat a little bit every day.
Yeah.
But we're really in a generally, so many people are just literally like eating the high oxalate diet and have no idea why. And you can get into that, a bit of that loop.
Almost done.
You can get into a bit of that loop if you're vegan especially or something like that, because where you're just really going with the vegetables. So making those extra oxalates really is so not good for our bones. That's where it was like really like ding, ding, ding.
That happened to me because I remember when I went to go see my doctor, I was vegan, and I was eating so much kale and so much chard. And
I've had those days.
Yeah. And I had, I mean, I was the heaviest I've ever been, which, you know, I don't really like talk about that sort of thing, but it was weird because I had my Hashimoto's with, and that's when I got Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I will not treat you unless you literally get rid of like everything that you think in your head and you start eating meat. Wow. And I mean, I was at that point, that's when I started incorporating bone broth and butter and stuff. And I still like a plant-based diet,
sure,
but I eat kebab and I eat eggs and I eat raw dairy and I just like, it's way more balanced for me, and I reverse my Hashimoto's.
Yes, that makes so much sense. Plus you can eat the veggies, just the low oxalate ones. So with that, it's really, so oxalates are these like shards of, that are in the, like in a kiwi, in a fig, or when you eat spinach and your teeth are fuzzy afterwards, that's the oxalates creating the calcium leaving your bones.
So crazy.
And so I love getting to the root of things. And one of the root causes of so many thyroid disorders is oxalates.
Wow.
So for example, 80% of people over the age of 50 have the oxalate shards in their thyroid.
Wow.
Making them, you know, sometimes that'll cause nodules or different, or Hashimoto's or Graves, that kind of thing. So it's a real thing. And it just depends where your Achilles heel is, where it will show up. So we all know about like kidney stones. That's sort of the common one, but it could be gallbladder stones, liver dysfunction, joint issues, arthritis, fibroids, and on, middle ear hearing loss, colon cancer.
Whoa.
It's the calcification of tissues, because not only are these shards dangerous, like literally like glass shards, for some like psoriasis, eczema, full oxalate issue. So you got to go low ox, and then we all need to have minerals that we're lacking in, which is the potassium citrate, calcium citrate, and magnesium citrate. So that'll help, like any oxalates you're eating each day, that will dampen the bone robbing effect. So there's the shards of glass issue. The other main issue is it's literally robbing our bones of the nutrients they need. So especially for women,
having the minerals,
getting up into the 40s, 50s, 60s, because there's more bone loss for women as the estrogen fades. So it's so key. And then the other thing is that many of these vegetables, with the high ox, they suck up, draw in all the heavy metals. So like in our peak kale days, I actually did a heavy metal test.
peak kale days.
Yeah. We were so high in thallium, and it took me like a year to figure it out. It's the kale. And even it's apparently even organic kale has like more heavy metals than the non-organic.
Gosh, you can never.
It's like, yeah.
Kale's out.
Kale is out.
The kale shirts need to go. I feel like they're gone. But yeah, I mean, they heavily spray kale. It's like, I feel so bad because I'm like, people are going to Whole Foods, spending so much money, and eating kale when they might not even like the taste of it. They're like torturing themselves to be healthy. But actually, not only is it high in heavy metals and sprayed with all of this crap, but it's like destroying their health and their paycheck is gone.
Yeah. It's like their whole paycheck.
Whole paycheck.
And the bones are so key. Yeah. So you got the heavy metals and then the bone issue. And, but there are, you know, there are vegetables that you can choose. Yeah. Like the whole, like, Sally Norton's book really is the book. I think broccoli might even be lower on the scale. And again, you're going to eat oxalates each day, but we're literally living the high oxalate life. And like, you know, green smoothies could be okay, but not if it's like a spinach kale smoothie. Yeah. And really, who wants to drink that anyway? But it's so fun, actually, because I feel like when you get like a little bit less into vegetables, it's like very liberating to not juice and to not like prep all the vegetable stuff, because they,
all
you
the
know,
time.
And they
it's
go off so quickly,
liberating.
Right?
Yeah, it really is. It takes so long to make a meal. Oh my gosh.
Totally.
Now it's like, okay, a little balance here.
Yeah.
There. It's way better.
It's way better.
It's all in the balance, really.
It totally is.
Oh, thanks for joining me. I love you so much.
Oh, I love you too. And I'm so happy we could have a chance to talk.